Happy Friday, y'all. I'm Jonathan Jones of Sports Illustrated's The MMQB, and this is the latest edition of the Shoot Your Shot podcast. Always happy you're joining me. This week's guest on Shoot Your Shot is Pittsburgh Steelers All-Pro corner, Joe Haden. He's going to tell you how many pairs of shoes he has, and I promise you, you will not believe the number. He's going to talk about how he worked his way into meeting Michael Jordan for the first time, how he became a Jumpman athlete after meeting Jordan, where he gets every piece of Jordan brand apparel 2 months before they hit the shelves. There's a lot in this. If you are a sneakerhead, you're going to love this. If you want to kind of know sort of the dealings, that what happens, how one becomes a Jumpman athlete, Joe Haden breaks it all down for you. That's going to be coming up shortly. But first, as you know, here's what I learned this week. Stephon Diggs wants out of Minnesota. Did you see him standing there with his hoodie on, and he was answering these questions, but he really wasn't answering the questions. How, you know, he was saying, I'm not saying I want to be traded, but there are truth to all rumors. Like, this dude absolutely wants out of Minnesota. This is sort of the same thing that we saw with Jalen Ramsey a couple weeks ago, right? And where, you know, you want to be a good teammate, you don't want to be a distraction, you're trying to go up there and answer these questions. But bro, we know the deal. And, you know, I said this on the first Shoot Your Shot. I talked about the era of player empowerment and how NFL owners are going to try their best to put an end to this. Like, Stephon Diggs has every reason and every right to want to get out of a situation that he doesn't want to be in and seek a trade. But I promise you that these owners are not going to put up with this stuff for much longer. Right now, we're talking about the CBA. You've seen like the 17-game schedule stuff, all that. I'm telling you, there is going to be a major battle over power dynamics as it relates to player freedom and movement, and that is going to be coming up. Also, we knew Vontaze Burfict was dirty, and now the league is taking steps to get him out of the game. I recognize a lifetime ban is unrealistic, right? But it's clear that Burfict is not interested in the safety of his fellow man. So, too, is it clear that there are teams willing to keep him employed. So a suspension for a season is the best and most effective route available to the NFL. And the league, honestly, you know, we always bang on the NFL for what they get wrong and all that stuff. They really should be praised for taking such swift and definitive action. Obviously, Burfict has an appeal that's going to be heard next week. We're going to see how that goes, but I very much stand by that season-long suspension. Also, I learned that Dwayne Haskins is not ready, but I'm not sure that any of the Washington quarterbacks are. I hate to see the young man's confidence get crushed because of a miserable offense around him. Washington needs to go with either Colt McCoy or Case Keenum for the next several weeks, probably for the rest of the year. They need to let Haskins, you know, just start over fresh with a new head coach whenever Jay Gruden's out of there, whenever they can figure out their deal with Trent Williams and their offensive line. Just, you can't throw him out there that early. I understood it in the moment because Case was so bad on Sunday, but he's clearly not ready. He's in a very, very bad situation. Just let him ride the bench. Let him build his confidence back up at practice, running scout team, et cetera, and get a better situation for the 15th overall pick. All right, the news of the week that I have got to hit on is the California Fair Pay to Play Act. As you all know, the Golden State just passed legislation that will go into effect in 2023 that will allow college student athletes the right to make money off their name, image, and likeness. Now, this is an MMQB podcast, and this is a podcast about things away from the football field, so I'm going to link this to the NFL. You just give me a sec, right? This is not about how I feel that players should be paid by their schools, okay? Because I do feel that. This isn't about that. It's not that the NCAA should be dismantled. I do feel that. Not about that. Or, you know, this idea that they're getting payment via free tuition and room and board. That idea is a scam, but it's not about that, okay? I think that it's not about it. This is really about the singular idea that these guys should be able to make some coin off their likeness. So first of all, I think the general understanding among reasonable people is that no one is getting rich off of this, right? Like, a Heisman winner might see some serious money, right? Maybe a generational quarterback talent who's going to a major school coming out of high school, he's going to see more than the average person. But for the most part, right, 99% of this, we're talking about young men and women getting money from, you know, helping with a summer camp for young athletes. We're talking about endorsement deals from potentially apparel companies, right? Zion Williamson with Nike, potentially. We're talking about energy drinks. We're talking about like local car dealerships. Video game companies would have to cut checks to players. You get the picture. Again, I want to simplify this. Like, answer this question yes or no, because there's a lot of feelings about these student athletes getting paid. So just answer this simple question, yes or no. Should a person be able to make money off his or her name? If you answered no, you answered incorrectly. The obvious answer is yes. But I understand you have your reservations about how it disrupts the amateurism model. You worry about unintended consequences. And I say to you, that may be valid. I hear you. You don't want to disrupt the amateurism model. You fear the unintended consequences. Okay, but you answered yes. And a yes answer to that question is the right thing. And you do the right thing because it's right. You don't avoid doing the right thing because it's hard. What I don't hear anyone really talking about is how these players making money for themselves off of themselves may actually increase their financial literacy. They are, in some cases, setting a market for themselves. In others, they are negotiating terms. Do you know, like, in my field, for example, I speak to a lot of young journalists out there in the J school. They're just coming out. You know, they're trying to find their place. Maybe they're in their first job. They're a year or two in, and they're trying to figure out, hey, how do I make some more money? Because I'm not making a lot of money. Do you know how few people know how to negotiate a salary, how few young people know how to negotiate a salary? The best way to learn is to practice. And now you say money just brings out the worst in people. Well, okay, but they earn the money. Again, you answered yes to that question. Remember the simple question, right? Should a person be able to make money off his or her name? And so since you answered yes to that, like, that they earn the money, like, that's their money. You know what I saw all the time when I was in college? I saw people who had a lot of money, money that was earned by their parents and that was not earned by them, who they were spending it wildly. You know, like, people who had no idea the value of a dollar. Yeah, that's an issue. But now you want to talk about, like, these guys, like, hey, you might get $1,000 from the car dealership. Like, oh, now all of a sudden we're worried about how they're going to spend their money. Nah, don't worry about that. Like, worry about yourself. Worry about your kids. What do you do when your kid mows the lawn? You pay him, what, $20, $25, $40 to mow the lawn? You don't pay the kid $100 to mow, you know, your average lawn, right? Because that's way too much money for lawn mowing for a child. You don't give them, you know, $300 when their third tooth falls out, right? That's they need to learn the value of a dollar, and that's not teaching them that. These athletes will presumably understand their value at an earlier age. They'll understand what it means to make money for themselves, because let's also be honest, with a 15-hour credit load plus practices and late weightlifting, they have little to no opportunity to actually work a real job, a real paying job. But for their work in the weight room and on the field, married with their work in the classroom, they are able to make a buck off their likeness. About 10 years ago, in 2009, Sports Illustrated found that 78% of NFL players were bankrupt or under great financial stress within 2 years of leaving the game. Now, there are any number of reasons for that figure, and you can go check out that article on SI.com. It's titled, How and Why Athletes Go Broke. In no way am I saying that this is a cure-all for that issue, right? Making some money off your likeness is not going to necessarily mean that, oh, well, that's fine, guys. No one's going broke anymore. I understand that. But I think a useful tool for financial literacy is having more time with the money that you make and making that money even slightly earlier in your life, so when the stakes are even greater, you are prepared for it. It's really not that crazy of a concept, is it? All right, so that's it for this week. Up next, got my guy Joe Hayden. He's going to tell us about how he saved up for his first pair of J's, how he hangs out with Michael Jordan now out in Monte Carlo, how Jordan Brand sends him a brand new shipment of the latest on every first of the month, and I promise you won't believe how many pairs of shoes he has. That's coming up right after this. So the reason I wanted to have you on, kind of more than anything, you're a Jumpman, a Jordan Brand athlete. Mm-hmm. You're probably the foremost sneakerhead in the NFL. Would you say you are the foremost sneakerhead in the NFL?
I would put myself up there for sure. I would definitely say I know it's probably top three, and I couldn't name the other two guys, but I know my sneaker collection's up there.
Okay, so tell me about the sneaker collection. When did it start? And, well, first of all, not when did it start. How many sneakers right now would you say you have?
Right now, I would probably say I probably have about 1,100 pair of shoes. It was more. It was a time where I had about 1,600 pair of shoes. Then it just started getting crazy, just having storage facilities with shoes, not knowing what's what, what's where. Now I'm more of a quality over quantity kind of guy, so I'm kind of just trying to get the most exclusive ones, the ones that I've, the grails, the shoes that I've always wanted to have a couple pair of those, and I'm good.
Okay, so 1,100 pairs of shoes, yeah. But back when you had 15 or 16, you mentioned storage facilities. Like, how many would you keep in your home, and then how many would you keep elsewhere?
I would probably have about 300 at the house, and the rest, probably 1,200 in the facility.
In one storage unit, or would you have multiple units?
I had a normal size storage unit, and I just kept having to get a bigger storage unit, but it was one of them.
And so, did you come into the league as a Nike athlete?
Yes.
Okay, and then you signed with Jordan Brand in 2015, right?
Yes.
What was it like getting that call? Take me back to like when you learned that you would sign with Jordan Brand.
Man, it was crazy because I always wanted to be a Team Jordan Brand member. Coming out of the league, it just was super exclusive and very hard to get even in touch with the Jordan people, because they have to literally, Jordan has to pick you himself.
Right.
So when I was just with Nike, it was amazing, but I just wanted that exclusivity. I would see like Dez Bryant, Crabtree getting all the retro J's, all of the shipments and boxes. I'm like, man, I don't care about the money. I just want to be a Jordan brand member. So I ended up talking to my agent, and I would talk to my PR people, and I was like, listen, I don't need any other sponsorships, anything. I just need y'all to get me in touch with Jordan. So I started reaching out to different PR people, trying to see what they could do. And Usain Bolt's lady ended up getting me in touch with them. And we took a trip out to Mexico. He said, you have to meet him first before he thinks about signing you.
Yeah.
So took a trip out there, doing one of the Jordan trips in Mexico. Had a blast, met Michael Jordan for the first time, had my wife with me. And we just kicked it with all the guys, man. Melo, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, you know, it was just a great time. And then they accepted me, and Jordan's like, you're going to be a part of the family. So it was crazy.
What was it like meeting Jordan for the first time?
That was one of the biggest. I was the most starstruck. It was him and then LeBron. Those are my two idols, and I was Michael Vick also. Those three dudes, when I met them, it stuck me in my tracks. I really didn't know what to say. Just was smiling at him like a kid.
Right.
Stupid when I'm like, God, this is really Michael Jordan. Like, love this dude. So, I mean, it was definitely a star-striking moment.
Yeah, I live in Charlotte, and I used to remember when the Bobcats became the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a press conference, and it was the first, Jordan was there. He was introducing that, hey, we're going to go back to the Hornets. It was my first time ever asking Michael Jordan a question. And I don't want to go back and listen to that audio because I know my voice was shaking the whole time. Like, I thought that I was so cool with it.
Yes.
My buddy texted me. He was like, yeah, were you a little nervous asking MJ that question? I was like, yeah, I was.
No doubt.
Okay, so tell me about how your sneaker obsession began. Like, do you remember the first pair of shoes that you bought with your own money?
Man, I think it was probably in the eighth grade. I was saving up for a while, and they were the all black eights with a little bit of gray on them. And right when I was out from Maryland, man, that was, if you had a new pair of J's on, you were killing it. Couldn't nobody tell you anything. So, I think it was definitely in the eighth grade when I went to Shoe City at 4 o'clock in the morning, waiting for them to open up. Me, my mom, and one of my best friends from back home. Both of us ended up saving up our money, and we ended up wearing them to school that day. It was sick.
Man. And so how much were they, like 200, 180?
They were about probably like 160, about 160 bucks.
Yeah. And at that point, in eighth grade in Maryland, was he with the Wizards at that point?
Was he? I think he might have been with the Wizards.
Did you get to see him play in person?
No, I never got to see him play in person. I saw him on TV a couple of times, but I never got to see him in person.
I got you.
And then he came up with those 17s, those $200, the first $200 pair of Jordans with the shoe case.
I bought those.
Oh, definitely. Me too. Oh, my God. Those were just – Jordan, he just had so many gems.
Yeah, I got the white with the blue.
Yes.
And so, funny story about that. like I was a car rider, my mom would not let me ride the bus. And but you, if you were a car rider, you had to go sit in the auditorium with all the bus riders. Well, I didn't want to go do that with the bus riders, okay? But I could stand with the orchestra if it looked like I had a musical instrument.
Okay.
So I would take that case, that metal case that the shoes came in, and that was my instrument case, quote unquote.
Gosh, that's hilarious.
So, okay, so tell me about the process with Jumpman. Take me and us behind the scenes. Like, when a how often do you get a shipment? Is it whatever you ask for, you get? Like, what is that process like?
The process with them is, we get a shipment once a month, at least once a month, maybe sometimes twice a month. And we get the shoes that are coming out either the next month or 2 months ahead.
Okay.
And they send us basically all of the shoes. You don't have to request them. You don't have to ask for anything. So that you're getting at least one or two shipments every single month of the shoes that are coming out for the next 2 months.
In all the colorways?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And then you get, you also get, they get all the workout shoes, all the trainers, all the retros, and then you get all of the gear, all of the gear that's coming out, all the sweatsuits, all of the training shoes, all of the socks, everything. So, I mean, it's that on its own, getting everything a month or 2 months early. I mean, with the new J's, all of the retros, we got the Travis Scott's, the high tops, the low tops,
right,
the off whites, the Jordan 1's, off whites. So anything Jordan, man, you basically get it.
How many football players are on Jordan brand?
I would say
roughly?
It's probably 20 maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 of us. I think that's probably a good number.
And so the thing, I remember this from last year. It was week two. It's the Jaguars versus the Patriots. Keelan Cole makes this incredible catch against the Pats. Jags just whooped him, right? Well, at halftime, because he made that catch in the first half, at halftime, he was wearing the 11s, and somebody, the uniform police of the NFL, told him, hey, you got to color in that Jumpman logo, because if you're not a Jumpman brand athlete, that you can't be wearing those on the field. Do you see these guys, like, I've seen a lot in training camp who are wearing, like, Retro 1 cleats and stuff, who are not Jumpman athletes. Do you ever look at them like, you ain't Jordan brand?
The thing is, Jordan really just started really releasing their football cleats, you know, so I was like, that was the one thing that I loved about being Jordan, that you, nobody could really get it.
Right.
But, you know, now it's cool because we still get, I mean, it's I love the fact that if I weren't Jordan brand, I would have the ones, the 11s, I would have all of them. I would order all of those shoes.
Right.
But I think it's cool because we still get ours, like, personalized. We get about 40, 45 pair of the cleats, so different colorways that don't come out. So I mean, it's still pretty cool because you get to customize them to your feet and just your bottoms, whatever you want,
right.
Laces, soles. So I mean, it's still dope. But I don't blame the guys. I would be doing the same thing.
So, where was the last Jordan Brand meetup? It was just like a month or two ago in Monte Carlo, right?
Monte Carlo. Yes.
Tell me about that. Tell me everything about that.
So sick. We felt like they had some, it was just a great time, man. Michael Jordan had us when the hospitality suite was one of the sickest suites. The hotel we stayed in, I forgot the exact name, but it was right across the street from this famous casino that you have to wear like a tuxedo to get inside of it.
Right.
So it was just a really, really nice experience. We had a good time. He had rented a couple boats for us to go out on, had some meetings, designed a couple shoes, met with Travis. Travis Scott was out there, talked to us. Spike Lee was out there, talked to us.
Yeah.
So it was just a really good time to just hang out with the guys.
And so y'all go on a trip every year, right?
Yes.
And so what's the point of that trip? Is it bonding? Is it, I mean, it's obviously a perk. I saw, was Jason Tatum there? And yes. Kemba was there, right?
Yes.
And it was as Kemba was trying to get recruited from the Hornets to the Celtics. Did you take part in any of that? Did you hear any recruiting pitches?
No, I didn't see any recruiting pitches. And Jason Tatum, he was on my team. Kemba, really cool dude. It was my first time actually kicking with him, meeting him. But I didn't see them doing any recruiting there.
Yeah. What do you think of Zion signing with Jumpman?
Man, I'm excited about that. You know, Zion is one of the biggest names coming out since LeBron,
right.
You know, and he's just so big, so strong, so fast. I just can't wait to see him in the league. I'm glad that he's going to be a Jordan Brand member. Hopefully I get to meet him at the next trip next
he's
year.
He's a good dude. So you mentioned Grails, right? And you can get just about any shoe that you want. What shoe does Joe Haden want that Joe Haden doesn't have?
I want more of the, I have the Oregon Duck 3s, the black ones. I want the Oregon Duck 4s. Those are probably one of the only shoes that I want and really don't have.
Yeah. And those are the limited edition, like what?
Oh
like
my
200
gosh,
were yeah. issued maybe?
A while ago, it was probably about seven grand to get them now.
Really?
Yeah. And Jordan, that's the one, they're not making no more Oregon Duck Jordans for you, you know what I'm
right.
saying? So that's that's one thing. You can't just go in there and be like, yo, let me get all of the Oregons, let me get the Oklahoma 4s,
right.
let me get some Gator 4s.
The Carolina work. 3s,
doesn't,
right?
Yeah, man, it doesn't really work like that.
So what would you say, what's the most money you've ever spent on a pair of shoes?
Most money I ever spent on a pair of shoes was probably $6,000.
Yeah. And what were they?
Those were the Marty McFly's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Had to go get those.
Of course you did.
Had to go get those.
What is the most expensive pair of shoes that you own? Like if you were to sell them today, they would go for 9-10 grand.
Probably the Marty McFly's and I got the Gator 4s. Those are going for some good money. All of the Nike Yeezys, Red Octobers.
Yeah. And for the listeners, the Marty McFlys are what Marty McFly wore.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, the self-lacing shoes.
Yes.
They came out maybe, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Very, very limited, right?
Yes.
How often do you wear those?
I wore them to a couple Cavs finals games, but that's about it.
were you on the front row for
those? Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so you
for
had
sure.
to show
for
out,
sure.
right?
I had to.
So when you go to these things, like, I see these cats all the time, right? Yourself included, you won't even go if you have second row, right?
Yeah, man. It's something about that first row. It's something about that feet on the wood. I like being out there just for layup lines. And then when I was in Cleveland, it was just, I had a really good relationship with Dan Gilbert.
Okay.
So I would, even when LeBron left, that was when I got to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So they just drafted Kyrie and Tristan, and we weren't winning too many games, but
right.
it was just, I mean, I love basketball. I have hoop dreams. I wanted to be in the NBA so bad. But just going to those games, it was so, so sick. So, you know, those floor seats, man, it's just, you get the feel. I put up a couple shots in warm-ups and everything.
Right.
So I'm like,
feeling like Drake.
Yes, man, I couldn't stop, literally.
So tell me, like, how often do you wear a pair of shoes? Are you like one time and then you're done with them?
No, I'm not that bad. I mean, I probably do around three, four times, you know, but I like to keep a rotation. I like to always just wear different shoes that I haven't worn in a while. So that's why when I wear a pair of shoes a couple of times, then I probably give them away and then just go to the storage facility, get some, because you got to really keep stuff in rotation, because you're getting between 20 to 30 pair of shoes a month,
right?
You know, and that's not even with you buying anything or ordering any shoes. So I mean, I never thought it would be too many shoes, but it's a such thing as having too many shoes.
How often are you going back and forth to the storage facility? How much of your time in your life, like you're in a rocking chair, you're an old man, you're gonna add it all up, how much time are you spending?
Look, I got an assistant. Honestly, like she would go there and I'd be like, bring one of those boxes back to the spot, go through it, you know, but been blessed to have some help. I'm not really doing the heavy lifting.
That's great. Joe Hayden, man, I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thank you, man.
All right, thank you. That's Joe Hayden. We talked just before he signed his 2-year, $22 million extension. You know, what a great dude he is. It's easy to see why he is so well-liked around the league, why so many guys dig him. Always watch after the games. Like, people are always dapping up Joe Hayden. They're trying to get his jersey afterward in the jersey swap. Like, he is beloved in the NFL. I love how he remembers the first shoes that he bought with the money that he saved up. You know, if anybody is willing to sell him the Oregon Duck 4s, he's buying, right? Between $5,000 and $7,000. That's absurd. All right. So we will wrap this up with some picks for this weekend's games. Each week, I pick three games we expect to be closely contested. I'm going to pick the winner. Last week, for the third week in a row, I went 2-1. So I'm 6-3 so far on the season. On to this week, I think Green Bay beats Dallas in America's Game of the Week. on Monday night. Give me the Browns over the 49ers and a big upset in MetLife Stadium this week. Daniel Jones, I'm calling it. He leads the Giants to an upset victory against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm the only person on our staff who is picking the Giants. Maybe we'll see next week if I was right. Shoot Your Shot is hosted by me, Jonathan Jones. It is produced by Shelby Royston. Special shout out to SI Scott Brody, Ben the Eagle, Mark Moravik as well. Keep up with our entire lineup of podcasts 5 days a week by subscribing to the MMQB NFL podcast for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, leave a rating and review. It really does help people find the show, which is available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Holler at me on Twitter at JJones9 for a little bit more personal feedback. That is it for me. It is Friday, y'all. Don't forget to shoot your shot.